Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And we are live. Uh-oh. There we are. And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is the, I guess you could say, the man that could probably win a governorship in South Carolina, Joe DeLeon.
Stop it. Yeah, Blake, I tried to tell you, man. I don't know what it is about my face, but South Carolina fans, they don't like me. Now, they're pointing out the comments that I made about Lenore Sellers' glasses. I have since apologized. I didn't mean to take it too far, but don't think really a lot of people understood the irony and the joke that I was trying to make. We're going to move past it. South Carolina fans are probably still going to be pissed at me. I will say this, though, Blake. Last offseason, do you remember what I said about South Carolina? I said that they were going to be one of the worst teams in the SEC, and that came to fruition. So maybe they should take what I say a little bit more seriously when I make these predictions, but... No,
probably not. See here. Well, probably so. I mean, look, I don't think that you were wrong. I don't think anything you said yesterday or Monday was wrong, other than you making the bad joke that got clipped and then went viral. I got lumped into this. They said, look at these weirdos, plural.
I love that part about it. That makes me happy that you're also getting dragged down with me.
Yeah, I'm getting, and you know what? I defended the Rudy Pooh. I defended Shane Beamer, and nobody really took account of that. No. And then you add on to the fact that they're already pissed off at me because I defended Flauge Johnson when it happened with women's basketball. So
yeah, the timing was not good.
And then I had on one of their favorite content creators on yet today. And Chris Miller. So I really do believe that I would get arrested if I went inside the state of South Carolina.
Yeah, they don't mess around. Look, I give them credit for defending their coach, defending their quarterback, for making the comments. And look, I didn't say this, but Lenore Sellers is actually going to be a really good quarterback. Like I was, again, being so over the top ironic that, and I'm just like stunned by the fact that nobody picked on, you know, the dumbass wearing the glasses is making fun of a quarterback for wearing glasses. Nobody, you know, thought to think that that wasn't a serious statement, but he's probably going to be a pretty good player. I'm excited to see how he does. I'm just not optimistic on Beamer. And as I've said in the past, he's running that program in the wrong direction and they're probably not going to be very good. But yeah, the timing was not great because we're now both a little bit on the hot seat.
Well, I will tell you, I have bookmarked tweets, so when they start saying fire Beamer, I am going to respond in kind. Just remember.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait, Blake.
But yeah, bookmarking it on Twitter is an amazing thing here, Joe. And you know what? Uh-huh. It's ironic because I also took mental bookmarks about what people said about a month ago with the NCAA in Tennessee. Now it's coming back through this with Nick Saban. So you blamed, you moaned, you bitched all the live long, not you, Joe. The people that, well, you too, but the people who moaned and bitched about the NCAA trying to do something, and now everybody's trying to defend Saban. But when the NCAA went out there and tried to do something, oh no. So tonight, I am collecting on my fucking debts.
Okay. Saban's statements are very different than the actions that the NCAA tried to take. Oh, man, this is going to be a heated debate today, is it? It's probably – we're probably not even going to get to any of these other topics. Is my anticipation that we're going to do an hour on the Saban comments. Is that going to come to fruition? They're very different. He didn't initiate an investigation.
At the core root of them, they are not. Let me tell you why, okay? This is how I view it. You can't champion one thing and not champion another, right? Meaning, I think that Saban is highly hypocritical in what he said because the playing field got even with him.
I don't disagree with that.
The playing field got even. He retires, which, Joe, hold on 1 second. Pause just for just a second. Oh, sorry. I was looking at Nick Saban's $20 million beach house. Okay. So please spare me on what he's saying. 80% of my conversation with players are about NIL. Joe, that's bullshit. And everybody knows that that's bullshit. But they champion saying, go, Nick, go. Go, Nick, go. In reference to what he's doing on Capitol Hill. Meanwhile, the NCAA actually just wanted to investigate to make sure things were okay, and people freaked out.
I don't think that these things are interconnected. I really don't. And my biggest thing with this, Blake, is that, and I still stand by it, the NCAA's actions were wrong because they tried to retroactively hold a school accountable for something that was portrayed as okay because they were not specific in their dealings. I don't disagree that Saban's not speaking hypocritically in what he's saying of, here's all this money that I'm getting and suddenly I feel uncomfortable with being asked about money. Yes, that's incredibly hypocritical, but his argument and why he's there is still very important. And I think that that part does need to be championed because that is an important movement in fixing all this stuff, is a lot of the things that he pointed out.
I'm glad you said that because, as I said this morning, I do think that two things can be true at once. I do think that what Nick Saban can be saying could be 1,000% factually true. I also can believe that he's full of shit and that the playing field got even. And I just don't know if he is the person that should be championing it. And I will tell you why when we get to that part of the segment. Joe, also, what would you say if a certain conference or conferences got scared of the Big Ten and SEC leaving that they gave 58% of share of revenue for the playoff?
This has to be the funniest goddamn headline. I'm excited to talk about this because this is it wasn't really talked about, but there was a lot of huff and puff about all this stuff that was behind the scenes. That if you listen to a lot of like reporters and insiders podcasts that were talking about this, it sounded like that this could have led to some real problems if the ACC and the Big 12
weren't going. You mean like the SEC and Big 10 saying bye-bye?
Yeah, and all the huff and puff, and they pushed all their chips, or not their chips, they pushed their cards in the middle of the table, and they said, we're good, go ahead. You know, we trust that you've got the better hand. It's so pathetic that they gave up this quickly. That was it. There was no debate. There was no back and forth. It was just, okay, you can have whatever you want.
I think that Tony Battiti and Greg Sankey put their nuts on the table and said, try us, bitch.
That's exactly what happened.
And they were going to leave. and the Jim Phillips, who, by the way, did you see the Jim Phillips comment? I quoted this and people kind of pushed back on me, saying that revenue sharing with players would end a lot of things in NIL. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't agree with.
Idiot. Yeah, I mean, like, Joe, this is my point. You know, I tweeted this out yesterday, and it got a lot of crazy responses. What would you do day one as the commissioner? You know what I do? I've come to a conclusion of what I do is day one as college football commissioner. I'd fire every single conference commissioner not named Greg Sankey and Tony Battiti. Yeah. I fire every one of them and say, bye-bye. See ya. Bye-bye. Really and truthfully, all I need is Greg Sankey, to be honest with you. But it's just, Joe, these commissioners come up with the stupidest statements alive. Meanwhile, Jim Phillips is getting dunked on, right? Like, he's getting dunked on by Greg Sankey and Tony Battiti. So we'll talk about that revenue share as well. Bitter rivals. Doesn't matter that we're in the offseason, Joe, but Coach Alford, Tony Alford, going as a running backs coach, leaving Ohio State to go to Michigan, which, by the way, head scratcher of a move, to be honest with you.
I wonder if he's getting more money, but I don't, man. This is another good offseason headline. This is a fun one. This is a, I really want to know what the contract is, because I want to know how much it took for Michigan to sway him away. But this is such a boiling the pot type of a move between these two schools, especially the most important position group on your roster that has been one of the best position groups in the country for the past, 9 years that he's been there. I love the whole scope of this entire thing.
Well, here's the better thing about Alford leaving. Why would you leave this running back core?
Bread. I really wonder how much money they spent. I hope it's something ridiculous that they gave him like a huge raise just despite Ohio State, because that would be so goddamn funny.
We will see. I will say this. There are some early whispers around Ohio State. A former Notre Dame running back who is at the University of Texas is making some sense. And Mr. Choice.
Is that really who they're projecting? I mean, that would make sense.
I'm hearing some things through the grapevine. Yes?
I want to look this up. But I mean, that would be... That would be interesting. Notre Dame does have a lineage of a lot of really good
Notre Dame needs to watch out for their running backs coach too. Now,
he apparently is sticking around. He is apparently, because they promoted him to a very high position of power in Notre Dame's coaching staff. They just gave him so much. There's no way that he's leaving.
I'm sorry, I can't really hear you. Do you smell the bullshit that The Rock is cooking?
I'm not buying that. He's not going anywhere.
All right. We will see. And then Texas A&M hired their new AD, which we might talk about it. We might not. Who cares about the ADs anyway?
It's the talk about an off-season topic. But, yeah, I don't even think we're going to get to that.
All right, let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on Facebook, share to all those groups and all those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and notification bell wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's do both of our ads here. Let's talk about our good friends at betonline.ag and our good friends over at Homefield Apparel. Joe, don't forget to hit the Homefield Apparel right after BetOnline. Brother's got to go get some water. I am quenching of thirst. But we'll be right back. We got lots to discuss. Nick Saban on Capitol Hill. We talk about that next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code Ruffino Joe to get 15% off your order. That is RUFFINO Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
We're back.
All right. Joe, I know that this has been talked about a lot, and we finally here on today's show get to have our discussions in reference to this. But obviously, Nick Saban was on Capitol Hill yesterday having some comments in reference to NIL. And I want to share this with you very quickly, okay? Just so that we can have an understanding of what I'm about to say. Joe, can I show you something right here? Can you tell me what this says right here? Now, I'm going to zoom in. That this is from Chris Hummer of 247 Sports. From 2021, July 20th of 2021. Let me read it for you. It says that Nick Saban is talking at the Texas Head Coaches Coaching Association convention today. Again, this is in 2021 when Bryce Young was there before he was going to be the starter or was going into the season of being the starter. He says, apparently Bryce Young is doing quite well in NIL. Our QB, quote unquote, our QB has already approached ungodly numbers and he hasn't even played yet. If I told you what it is, it's almost seven figures. So, Joe, I want to start off by saying this and starting here. Two things can be true at once. And I say that to say because sometimes what Nick Saban is saying about college football and NIL, 1,000% is true. It's also highly hypocritical because a couple of years ago, he's at Texas, of all places, talking to the Coaches Association in high school coaches in the state of Texas saying, hey, man, my quarterback's making seven figures, and he's bragging about it. Now you're in a situation where he's on Capitol Hill now that he's retired. By the way, didn't win a national title in those 3 years as well, or three seasons. He only made a playoff twice. He almost won a national championship beating Georgia, but Georgia overcame it. My only point in all of this is saying, I agree with Nick. I think something has to give on some of the things like doing away with collectives, not letting collectives be a thing. Joe, let's not act like the playing field wasn't even, and this is really why Nick Saban is pissed off.
Look, I think the biggest takeaway from this is that I'm glad that we're making actual progress in having these discussions. I agree with you. I agree with you that Nick Saban, it is hypocritical for him for the amount of money that he made in his coaching career. And you mentioned his beach house and all that stuff. Coaching did very well for him. It did very, very well for him. As hypocritical as it might be, I don't think there's anything wrong with the statements that he's making, that the focus of college football right now is not on actually playing football. And it is detracting from the experience for the players. Again, I know the messenger of this doesn't exactly help, but if you listen to what he's saying, there is a lot of truth to him bringing up that NFL coaches are saying that players are coming into the league with less of an ability to handle adversity, less developed, less mature, as they've been described. Those are real concerns because you go to kids that are not going to play in the NFL, that are trying to get NIL money, that are going on to getting hired for jobs that might not have the patience and the composure and the wherewithal to work within the modern work society. It is okay to be concerned that these kids are getting chewed up and spit out at a ridiculous rate right now because there is no control over how the system works. I am taking this for what he is saying, which is that we need very specific, strict, structured guidelines and some sort of a revenue share in order to make progress.
Here's the problem I have with that. What kids are being chewed up and spit out?
I could bring up the example of Gervion Dexter, who is supposed to guarantee part of his NFL contract. That's the first example that comes to mind.
Let me rephrase that. Is there a massive amount of kids that are having this issue in NIL?
This is something that would be very complex to report on, to follow and track guys that are graduating and determining if they're able to succeed in life after football. No, but that is what I'm saying.
No, but you would have more reporting if more shitty stuff was going on, more than these handful of issues.
A lot of these kids finish football and then nobody cares about them. That's the whole point that we're bringing this stuff up.
It's not their job. Joe, well, first off,
that's why there's no reporting on it.
Joe, NIL's only been a thing for 40 years. What issues are they mostly having of giving kids money for their name, image, and likeness? What issue is there being in there being a situation where a kid is making money for the first time ever in college sports?
Nick Saban is bringing up and talking about in these hearings, in this panel, discussing how, and it was brought up the transfer portal aspect of this, kids that are constantly moving and bouncing to different schools, which falls in line with NIL because kids are going to leave if they feel like they're not getting the money that they deserve.
All right, stop right there. Which is his biggest gripe because it makes an even playing field for everybody else. Nick Saban, so many years ago, Joe, I remember a time where Alvin Kamara was his fifth running back. So he was able to control and stockpile. He can't do that now, okay? That is his massive issue, is what he's talking about. He didn't have control, okay? So he has an issue. Joe, I talked to a legislator today. Good luck with your collective bargaining agreement, because guess what? Any state or state school that gets state and federal funding can't have a collective bargaining agreement. They can't, because it's state and federal funded. You can't have a union with state and federal funded grants and procedures. You can't let one body, meaning student body, have things that where student athletes cannot. My whole point in this is, I think here's where I go in all of this. I think that there's a massive problem in the media, and it's going to continue to come out until we get to decisions. When we finally get to the decisions where people are like, oh man, I can't believe they made these horrible decisions. Years and years down the road, Joe, the NCAA came out and tried to actually do something and regulate NIL. Pay for play is what, hold on, please just hold on and listen to me. They tried to do it. It got thrown out in court. If the Supreme Court and the federal court is already throwing out these things that Nick Saban is on Capitol Hill ranting about, what do you propose? Let me tell you another avenue as well. Everybody is saying, Nick included, on Capitol Hill, that if you do a revenue share, which we'll get to more later, okay, if you do a revenue share, it will calm things down. Joe, it's not going to calm down A&M. It's not going to calm down Alabama. It's not going to calm down schools to pay for recruits to come to their school. It's just not going to happen. And so you get back to a point where, okay, there are people on a certain side, a party side, that is massively disagreeing with Nick Saban. Okay? And they are going to vote no. So we are kicking, no progress was made in this. So the NCAA does something and everybody goes, get their ass, Tennessee. Which what everybody should have done is allow the NCAA to investigate that ass, see what actually is going on, and let that case go to the Supreme Court so that we can have a ruling and get everything back to maybe where we can progress and move forward. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody really wants structure. Nick Saban is bitching, moaning, and complaining because he can't have control. And Joe, I will tell you, you said earlier that the messenger doesn't necessarily matter in so many words. I call bullshit when you have a $20 million mansion that you bought in the beginning of a season. It's hard for you to say that, well, players want to have these conversations, okay, about name, image, and likeness with me and the collective, which, by the way, I'm so glad you asked. On July the 1st of 2021, do you want to know what Nick Saban was doing at the University of Alabama? He was doing a commercial for Alabama's collective so that his team would get money. If you were so hell-bent and determined that you didn't want to have those conversations, it's your fault for allowing these things to happen. You could have been like Dabo and said, you know what, we're not going to play these games. You can do it, but once you're on our campus, you're on our campus. I think that y'all are bitching, moaning, and complaining about the wrong things, and the God's honest truth is, Nick said, this was the quote, that I think killed it for me. You ready?
What?
I've been in college football and college sports for 50 years, and it's just not the way that I grew up in. You mean when players didn't get paid money? You made over $100 million in college football. Joe, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and he's full of shit. Regardless if anybody believes it or not, he is full of shit. Now, last point for me. What he said, though, we got to figure something out. And Joe, you know what the crazy thing is, kicking it over to you? He didn't even give a proposal of what should happen.
But that's not why he's there for. He's not there to come up and solve the problem. He is an expert opinion that is brought up into this.
No. Bullshit. He was asked by Ted Cruz, and the last question, I'm reading it right here. Coach, what would you do? He said, I think that we need to have further discussions on how to regulate NIL. Ted Cruz then asked him, what kind of regulations? He said, we'd have to have further discussions.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying that we need to keep talking about this. There's nothing wrong with that.
How many times does he have? This is his fourth time on Capitol Hill. If you know, Joe, what do you mean he
doesn't? Not everyone needs it. He is a former head coach. He is not an administrator. I'm going to him for the expert opinion to provide the context of what NFL coaches are saying about the players that are coming into the league and the interactions that he's having with family members and upcoming recruits. That's why he's brought there. I'm not bringing in Nick Saban because I want to hear what his proposal for fixing this is. I trust Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti. Heck, I'd even trust Charlie Baker more than I would trust.
Why not call them to Capitol Hill?
I don't know the whole back logic of why this was set up the way that it was. I'm sure that there's reasoning for it. I don't know politics enough and the political procedures enough to sit here and argue that question. But I completely disagree with the notion that you're just saying that Nick Saban went up there to bitch and moan because things got hard for him. He's not coaching anymore. Why does it matter if things got hard for him? He's got nothing to gain or to lose going up there. Is it just a bitch? You think he's got that in him that he would just go up there and bitch and complain so he could do it? I completely disagree.
Yes. Can I tell you why I know that he would? Because he bitched and moaned about Jimbo and Deion Sanders a couple years ago, about them paying a player. Hold on. Paying a player $1 million. Meanwhile, I know for an outright fact, and this is something that happened, a top wide receiver flipped on signing day from one SEC school to Alabama. The kid tweeted, a Hellcat and a contract.
So he is making comments about that stuff.
Please spare me, please, dear God, spare me that he was not doing this shit when he could control it.
He was, those comments when he was making those, yes, were because he was being outcompeted. He was dealing with the monster that is now NIL in the transfer portal. Yes, he was complaining because there was a competitive advantage that was being altered. But again, now him sitting there and bringing all of this stuff up, there's nothing wrong with it. I
never said that there was anything wrong with it.
I know that you're not, but I think that a lot of times, and I'm not calling homerism here on you, I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying that a lot of times in general, college football fans, and I have been one of these people who I did it all last season with all the Alabama games, I kept picking against them because of a bias against Nick Saban. Now that he's removed from college football, I think we need to recognize that he is able to provide us with some very, very important context. I personally think that it's disturbing that he brought up that when he brought recruits into his house, that the families and the recruits did not have just the general social awareness to understand that they don't need to be bringing up NIL dealings when they're being brought into their into Saban's house and bringing it up with his wife. That's not the setting to do it. I think that they're truly disturbing.
And he lied his ass off when that
shit happened. No, come on. And we don't know that he's lying. That is a weirdly specific example.
Let me ask you a simple question. When he was paying kids before NIL was an issue, when were those conversations being had then?
Not in his goddamn house. And I also know that... Wait. When you ask people who play college football, they were not, kids and families were not outwardly asking for money.
Bullshit.
It is not the same process that because it's more out in the open. These kids can get away with asking for it out in the open.
Why did Bo Davis get a show calls in the SEC?
Why?
Because he was caught doing shit illegal for Nick. They have Nick literally texting Bo Davis, and Bo Davis got a show calls for it. What happened was a recruit got a bag of fucking cash, and that is what happened.
Okay, but we don't know that there was any type of negotiation. I'd be willing to bet that there was no certain type of negotiation.
That makes it even worse. What makes it, you know why it makes it worse for the player? Can I tell you why it makes it worse for the player? At least why? Now there is a negotiation that says, well, you know what, motherfucker? I got Texas over here that's going to give me money. You better match. And if you don't, I'm going there. And you know what? That is what ran him out of the sport. If you think for one iota whatsoever that he did not have these conversations about how much money it took.
I'm not saying that he didn't. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that there is suddenly the setting in which that these conversations are having, that it is being just so direct and so transactional that nothing else matters, is concerning, and it's worth talking about. Him bringing it up is important because I think that there is so much truth to the type of people that are coming into college football and the way that they're handling it, and the way that I feel like nonstop, all we hear about when you talk about certain recruits making decisions, you hear about their uncle, or you hear about their father or their cousin.
Handlers.
That is, there's typically certain relationships with kids that are overly influencing based on financial. And I'm not saying that it's bad that kids are getting money and that they're able to negotiate. All I'm saying is that we need to keep having these conversations about the problems that are being caused in order to put the regulations in so that kids can't just freely negotiate like this and then hop in the transfer portal whenever
you mean like what Nick Saban did in his contract, that if there was someone paid above him that Alabama had to restructure his contract so he was the highest paid head coach in the country?
He signed a contract and was held accountable. He couldn't just decide in the middle of that contract, I'm going to step away and I'm going to go take over the job at Texas. Right,
stop. Let me ask you a question. You legitimately said when Nico Iamaivea, he had the opportunity to fly out with a spy group from California to Tennessee. You said that, right? Correct? Okay.
Yes.
You said that that's something that should be legal. So why is it now okay for Nico to have that same conversation with an NIL group, but when someone comes to Nick Saban and says, Coach, I'm having other teams that are telling me this. What are you offering? You legitimately...
That's not what I'm bringing up.
Do you really think that Nico Iamaivea did not have a conversation with Josh Heupel about...
They obviously did, and I'm not disagreeing with that aspect of it.
Okay, but you legitimately said 2 weeks ago that was okay, and now you're saying that it's not. You can't pick and choose now.
But that's not what I'm bringing up here. I'm bringing up the nature of, again, it is a part of a visit where they're at the head coach's house, and you've got parents asking his wife how much money is being given to their son, which is a completely fine conversation.
Are you 100% sure that's true, Joe?
I don't have any evidence to prove that it's not. I have evidence of a context.
It's true either.
I at least have context of a story of it being brought up by Nick Saban.
Here's the problem.
You think he lied in court to bring that up?
He's not under oath.
But what does he get out of lying in court? What does he get out of in a political setting like that, going up there and lying?
Because
nothing.
I think it doesn't damage his legacy because of an even more even playing field.
If somebody catches him doing that and lying, I would argue that would seriously damage his credibility and his legacy if he was caught going up there and lying.
He would have to prove that, and he knows that nobody's going to do that to try to prove him. It's not something that Miss Terry's not going to be on the stand, and they're not going to be under oath.
My point is, though, that there is a time and a place to have those negotiations and to have those conversations.
You mean like the time that Reggie Bush got a house from USC?
That was with an agent.
It doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter.
Wait, can I finish what I'm trying to say here with those conversations? There is the equivalent of this is if you were being offered and courted for a new job, those conversations would happen outside of work in a meeting with the new company. The money would be offered, and then you would approach your employer in a work setting and then move forward. Whatever it might be, there are certain settings for that to happen. You don't go show up at your boss's house and start asking, well, so-and-so offered me more money. Can you match it? That's what I'm saying, is that it's weird and it's concerning that is where they're deciding to do this, that there is an obliviousness there's no social awareness of understanding how these things should be handled, and then it's just so blatantly out in the opening. That's why we need structure. That's why we need rules. There needs to be certain.
How do you change that?
There needs to be certain. I've said this before. There needs to be contracts where you're locked in for 2 to 3 years, and you have to negotiate during certain periods of time. Why? Why can't I?
The spirit of NIL, which you alluded to with Nico Iamaya-Vea, is about name, image, and likeness.
NIL. It needs to be a revenue share. And I've said that before.
No, but the problem, goddammit, with that is a revenue share doesn't stop a fucking thing when it comes to NIL and boosters paying for recruits to be there. Your issue is not – everybody keeps talking about revenue share changing something. Revenue sharing is not going to change a goddamn
yes,
thing.
Yes, it does. Yes, no, it does, because it can be more easily structured.
What's happening in the NFL right now? It's called what?
The collective bargaining agreement.
Free agency.
Yeah, it's free agency.
Okay, so what are they doing? They're spending shitloads of money to get their team better, correct?
Yeah. And none of those players could negotiate until their contracts were up.
Jesus, sweet God alive. Revenue sharing does not stop any booster from making their team and paying recruits to get them there. What Nick was saying was, I'm having conversations with recruits in my own house. He's talking about recruiting in NIL. He's talking about collectives. The first thing that needs to be enacted in all this is that collectives need to go bye-bye. That's where you need
to. I don't disagree with that. And that's why
that's the conversation that Nick is having. TV revenue money has absolutely nothing.
You have to offer a counter solution here, though, in order to, if you remove the NIL collectives, then there is now no organized pool of money for these players. So the players, and legally, you're not going to be able to have any grounds to remove that unless there's money coming from somewhere else. Revenue sharing is something that would be blatantly in front of our eyes, and there would be set dollar amounts that players would be getting.
Do you think that stops boosters from giving millions of dollars up to recruits to make their team better? Yes or no?
No, but I believe that if there is revenue sharing in place, then you can hold schools and boosters accountable for trying to offer money to sway decisions.
You can't do that, because it literally in federal court a month ago got shot down. Please stop. And you rooted it on. You rooted it on. I can go get the episode for you. You cheered it on. Rocky Top.
The aspect, I cheered on the aspect of the NCAA not being able to restrict the open market for players. That's not the same thing.
Screw the NCAA for a minute. The bottom line issue became, when that went through, is quite honestly that pay for play is legal. So if, like I told you, what was my counter argument? I said, Joe, who is the top recruit at Notre Dame? If I called him right now, got him on a plane, flew into Baton Rouge and said, you're coming to LSU, there's not a goddamn thing that you could do about it. You remember
that? That's why we need revenue sharing, so that we can put together contracts where a kid can't just walk up and do that. You need a contract. There's revenue, no contracts.
No, I think you're complete. It's vastly gone over your head. TV,
no, it's not.
Yes, it does. You know why? Because we're talking about a recruiting issue of bringing a player there. TV revenue is going to be the same across the board. Let's just say every kid, every scholarship player makes $50,000 a year. Do you really think that the school that's going to add on to that is where players aren't going to go? That's my point.
I get what your point is, but I'm trying to bring up the fact that if you have some sort of salary, some sort of amount of money that is being given to players, you are then able to be more restrictive in what happens with them outside of or everything that happens with NIL.
Then you're naive of how that game's going to go.
They can't create regulations right now because everything is not – there's no rules. There's none. I am advocating for the creation of rules.
You mean like what the NCAA tried to enforce a month ago?
They tried to enforce rules that after they had been – they tried to enforce rules after the
fact. Oh, you're stuck. You know why you're stuck?
I'm not stuck. You're stuck
because this is what the media does. What the media does is they see where the flag is blowing and they go that direction, not looking down the line of where things are going to be.
We're not gonna agree on this.
You are not going to stop any booster from giving mad stacks of fat cash for players to come, no matter what a collective bargaining agreement says, no matter what happens. Because as the great Bear Bryant once said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. If you think that colleges aren't going to continue to cheat in recruiting and getting players there, which is ultimately going to be looked at as NIL, you're massively mistaken.
I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I think that you. My point is that to prevent
change anything
to prevent that from happening, you have to enact something. There has to be some sort of a. The reason why NIL is able to operate the way that it does is because the NCAA the courts are arguing that the NCAA can't restrict what the open market is for the value of name, image, and likeness for a player. Okay, they can't. They can't restrict it, but the problem. The problem is with the fact that they can't put any restrictions down on that is because they don't have any counter options available.
You can't counter capitalism.
You can if there's set contracts that if you're taking a certain amount of money that a kid can't leave after a year, that a kid can't threaten to sit out of a football game because he's not getting enough money. We're not going to agree on this. We should move on to the SEC Big Ten thing.
You know, you asked me a question in the beginning of the show. Did I think that we would argue about this for 45 minutes? And I said, no, boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you need to listen to me more when I make those statements.
All right. We argue more in the off season than we do in season.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Isn't that ironic? Well,
maybe we're just... We weren't arguing enough in general in the first year of us doing this, and this is just gearing us up for what's going to be a very explplosive 2024 season.
God, Lord, my heart can't take it.
Yeah, right. you better see your doctor before the season starts.
My pulse is 82. I think I'm okay. So today, Joe, was enacted. So we've talked about this briefly, so let's get to it again. It's going to be approved that the SEC is going to get 58%. SEC and the Big Ten is going to get 58% of the revenue share. We talked about this. If you haven't seen it, go read the report and go see it. But the ACC Big 12 get, what was it, Joe, somewhere around 28% and then 10% for Notre Dame or anybody else that's in the playoff.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this being approved?
Yeah, I'm stunned by how quickly they folded. I mean, they didn't even put up any bit of a fight. And they obviously very quickly realize that they don't hold any leverage in this situation. They're not the ones that hold all of the chips. The SEC and the Big Ten, their argument was, and the reason why that number and that the percentage was so specific, was that if you look back at all the teams that were in the college football playoff over the period of time that it existed, the vast majority of them were SEC, the second most was the Big Ten, and a very small, small number was the Big 12 in the ACC. I believe the Big 12 has only had two teams that have represented the Big 12, and one of them is going to move on. No, sorry. I'm misspeaking. Yes. They included future teams that are moving over to these conferences.
Correct.
So the Big 12, if you don't include Oklahoma, has only had two schools that have represented them in the college football playoff.
Which is TCU and Utah, correct? No, not Utah. TCU and who else made the playoff from the Big 12 in the current Big 12?
I'll look after I finish this statement, but the whole point here is that they didn't have any leverage. The SEC and the Big Ten
Cincinnati,
have been
Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati. That's of all teams. Wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. Thank you, Elks.
They have been the drawing interest. And if they want to still be able to participate in this, they're going to have to give them what they want. Now, what's worth acknowledging, this will reopen for some sort of renegotiation at some point. And that if they are active enough and able to produce better teams and more teams that participate in the playoff, maybe a national champion, which probably won't happen, then the argument can be made differently for the ACC and the Big 12. But they had no power. They had none.
We're delaying the inevitable. That's all
today. So?
I mean, that's all that what today really showed. I mean, you're delaying the inevitable of there being two super conferences. Because what is teams like the Big Ten? I mean, what's teams like Florida State been saying? We're not getting our fair share of money that we think that we should be getting. Sure as hell aren't going to get it now if you make the playoff. Right. And so I look at this situation, Joe, and just say we are delaying the open inevitable. I will tell you this, and I think you will disagree with me here. I think that this is a massive dagger to Notre Dame.
Why?
Because everybody's going to get more percentage of playoff revenue money than you will. And if you make it more enough, okay, and you make the playoff more than other teams in the SEC or Big Ten, it might be conducive for you instead of making $1.5 million or $2 million to make $6 million. Because the number that you're getting is from a lower pool of money. Because let me give an example.
But they don't have to share it with anyone, though. That's why, I don't know if that's
not, no, that's not true. Sure. You're going to have to share 5%. Let me tell you why. Because there's already going to be a automatic qualifier for a group of five opponent. So if Notre Dame and a group of five opponent, which we know is going to get in, they're going to have to split 10%. So
if 5% goes to one.
Yeah, and that's not what's going to be for all the other ones. Everybody else is going to be getting 8 to 9%. Yeah, do the math. Because if you have
look, I haven't done the math, so I don't want to sit here and try to argue that. So I'm not going to agree, but I'm not going to disagree because I haven't. I'd like to sit and try to map out if that's actually true or not. You might be right.
I'm just reading the report that I read. So if that's the truth, okay, then Notre Dame might need to get in a conference. If you have four teams with 25% in the SEC. All are getting 5%. Okay. Notre Dame is projected per Pete Nakos from On Three.
Yeah.
That it would be projected that Notre Dame at minimum would have to split 10%, which could be lower if they don't get out of the first round.
I will say that there's a new athletic director and he has a broadcasting background. At NBC, I'm not going to sit here and go as far as to say that they're going to join a conference, but I wouldn't be surprised if that. Let me kind of pivot this a little bit. I think to your point that we're delaying the inevitable, the two biggest cogs for the inevitable happening is Notre Dame joining a conference and Florida State leaving the ACC.
Oh, that's
that is.
I disagree with that, but continue.
Well, that was my point. I think those are going to be the biggest dominoes.
Did you know that in 2027, that ESPN can void and null the ACC's contract and TV revenue?
In 2027?
I didn't know that. Hey, and guess what? Guess what comes up then too? A new playoff format.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
Perfectly timed.
Isn't that funny? We'll pick this conversation probably back up in 2027. Florida State fans, hang on.
If we're still alive in 2027.
Why wouldn't we be alive?
One of us kills the other one. I'm sure that might end up happening.
Who do you think wins?
Out of you and me, or
yeah,
who probably you. It's either going to be a physical altercation, which I don't think is likely.
You probably poison me.
I think the more likely it's going to be just a stress-induced thing, and it would probably be you to me because you're
losing more hair than I am, so you got more stress than I do.
Oh, come on, man! Why are you going to take me there?
and I got two kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're delaying the inevitable, and it is what it is. So, look, we're going to two power conferences, man. That's just the bottom line.
And I kind of wish there was more of a fight put up because I think it would have made things much spicier, and this would have moved a lot quicker. Instead, we kind of got the lame outcome.
I don't know 100%. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if 100% that Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are ready to add that many teams yet. I think that they want to hire more staff so that they can facilitate bringing on more teams. Because, Joe, I got to tell you, if you bring on 18, 20, 22 teams, that's a lot to take on. You can't run all of those programs and be the only guy. You need more of a staff, which is why I think they delayed the inevitable.
Well, and also there's a reason why they put the committees together or the committee together that they put together, because they need time to sit and talk the whole thing out and kind of figure out, like, if that makes the most sense, how would something like that look?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know what I do know?
What's that?
Is that we got to get to a quick break because Michigan got a new running backs coach. We'll talk about that.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan. Whatever it is, even Idaho, they have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoRuffino RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Can I tell you something that's really funny? Made me think about this when I brought up Notre Dame.
Okay.
How about old Notre Dame head baseball coach Link Jarrett has the Florida State Seminoles undefeated right now?
Does he really?
Yeah, nice. Undefeated. Beat Florida last night in a big game on SEC Network.
If only we kept him.
I guess just nobody wants to be in South Bend.
Oh, he was a Florida State alum.
Do y'all have a Chili's?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't been there enough times. I haven't been there enough times recently to know.
Do y'all have like a TGI Fridays? I mean, let me ask you this question. Outside of a football game, what is the best thing to do in South Bend, Indiana?
tailgate. I mean, bar scene's not terrible. Look, I mean, it's not a party scene. It's also not one of those places. It's not like Baton Rouge where a lot of people might graduate and still stay in the area. Most people move. Everybody, to
because it's awful.
Yeah, it's not that type of an area. Okay, I'm not going to go as far as it's awful. It has its own, the campus has its own mystique, and it's an amazing place. But like outside of that, there's just not there's not a lot. There's right. I won't go as far that far. But
all right, Joe. You know, one of the biggest moves, not biggest moves, one of the funniest moves that I think I've ever seen in college football happen today, because lo and behold, Ohio State running back coach Tony Alford is leaving for the arch rival Michigan Wolverines. What do you think about Tony Alford heading to Michigan?
So Alford's been at Ohio State since 2015. He has coached some of the most prolific running backs in the past decade. I mean, he's most recently Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams, who were fantastic this past year. This is so goddamn funny because this isn't like a guy who was there for a couple of years and was recently joined the staff and then is moving on and is going elsewhere. This is an ingrained part of Ryan Day's staff that was important for their string of success and how good they've been over this period of time. The running back position has always been a key integral part of the roster, and they have always recruited at a very high level. This is almost, even if Alford shows up and sits in a lawn chair all practice and doesn't do anything, which is not going to happen. He's a great, great coach. This is just an awesome troll move. I love this for Sherrone Moore. The mind game of going and hiring a guy, one of the best coaches on the staff, and pulling him away is so goddamn funny. Elks, I'm sorry. I know that I'm trying to, you know, prop this up more than it probably needs to get propped up. But it's a chess move. That's what this is.
I talked to some people today. I do think that Alford wanted to be a head coach somewhere, and I think that he had been passed up in certain scenarios and situations. And maybe just a new scenery helps him out. Maybe I don't know. I did see a lot of Ohio State fans say that his recruiting took a hit. Well, you just got Quinshon Judkins. I mean,
well, yeah,
planted Quinshon Judkins from the portal. So, with all due respect, no. I mean, like, let's not go there. There have been some struggles at running backs, somewhat, I guess you could say. But look, he recruited Donovan Edwards, and he's going to get to coach him. I just think it's a really good move, and a guy that has a track record of bringing in really good backs.
Elks brings up a really funny point. I really think that Ohio State should go after Mike Hart, who was Michigan's running back coach. I don't know if he had any intention of like knowing where he was going. I would have thought that maybe he goes to the NFL. Like that was kind of why I thought he wasn't coming back. But if they really wanted to do like a total reverse troll job, I would hire Mike Hart. That would be the first person I would call.
The first person that I would call is Texas running backs coach Tashard Choice. He has recruited that position. He is a lineage recruiter. Look, Joe, he got Jamar Gibbs to go to Georgia Tech. I mean, this dude can recruit. This guy can develop. I think he would be a good addition for them. Look, he was in the NFL for a long time. He was at Georgia Tech. He was at North Texas as well. I just really think that Tashard Choice would be a really good choice, pun intended, for them if they went that direction. Now, could you go into Texas and take him? I don't know. But, look, we've seen a couple of position coaches get taken from Texas. I don't know if he wouldn't want to go coach a really good running back room at Ohio State.
Yeah, it just depends on how much of a priority this is for Ryan Day. For Brian Kelly, who is the name of the defensive line coach that they just took?
Bo Davis.
But to get Bo Davis is a little bit different because Brian Kelly was...
Well, and he's from here and he played here. That's completely different.
It was completely different, but like he needed to spend the money and get one of the best, if not the best, defensive line coach out there and pull him away from Texas. They had to offer him a lot of money. He's now one of the highest paid position coaches in the country. So I just don't know if Ryan Day is going to look at this and say, like, we need to spend a ton of money. I almost don't even wonder if this is something where you've got a really good room that you don't just promote internally. Choice, though, is a good option. He mentioned DeMarco Murray. I didn't realize DeMarco Murray was
– Yeah, he's coaching in Oklahoma.
The running backs coach at Oklahoma. I just would be surprised, though, if somebody like that
– He ain't leaving Oklahoma.
Yeah, he played at Oklahoma. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, he ain't leaving Oklahoma. I'm going to throw one out to you that there were some rumors that it could be a possibility. Is Dylan McCullough the associate head coach and running backs coach for Notre Dame?
I just think that there's such an established chain of command at Ohio State. For him to be as high up and have so much control at Notre Dame, and he's been established as the most important, or at least one of the most important assistants in Notre Dame, I don't think McCullough's leaving. I really don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing that I hate about this and why it makes it just such a better troll job is that I hate when coaches come in this late to the process with spring already starting. That's what really, really sucks. But it doesn't matter because they got two backs that can really, really run. And I don't – if there's any position group that Ohio State could lose a coach right now, it would be running back.
That's why I think that this – could just end up being an internal promotion, and it's like, who was the GA that was working with the running backs, and just keep it, you know, keep it simple. And then if you don't like the results that happened and the way that he handled himself, that's a pretty easy swap to go find somebody else.
You know what you could do?
What?
For the current moment, you could let Chip Kelly coach the running backs and let Ryan Day coach the quarterbacks. Okay.
That's because, also plausible.
But, well, and you know why? It's because they're going to run the football a lot. And to run this system and run it the way that Chip wants to, who would be better to teach the running backs more than him? I don't know if it's not more possible now. And here comes a question. Was there a little bit of scuttlebutt between Alford and Chip Kelly, and there might be already some dissension going on in Buckeye land?
I don't want to go that far. I think that we start to get into a little bit of a sticky situation there with that. But
we're getting a sticky situation with that. But meanwhile, you'll call Sellers, the quarterback at Notre Dame, South Carolina, bifocals. Okay.
I didn't call him bifocals. I just pointed out that I don't know if I can trust the guy with glasses. Says the guy wearing glasses.
It's the guy with glasses.
Wait, I don't know. I know we were wrapping up right now. How does nobody understand the joke? How did our normal listeners understood the joke? It is exasperating, man. It's probably going to circulate for the next 3 days, but we live.
I just ignored it. I muted it.
If they were going to say the damage is done, you're on the list. I don't know what list they're referring to.
I don't know, but as soon as they started coming after us, I just muted it. Can I tell you something, Joe? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
If you get to a point where it's starting to piss you off, just mute them. I mean, because it's not.
I don't care. It'll be fine.
Elk says, did we miss him while he was in Italy? Thanks for the invite.
Of course. Yeah, by the way, yeah, thanks for the invite, Elk. No, of course. I mean, he's our most consistent commenter. So, yeah, of course we missed him.
He always tells me how wrong I am.
Example, both of them.
All right. Good show.
Good show.
You may
want to yell at
your sky high, but other than that, we will see you guys again on today's Wednesday. Sunday.
We'll be back.
I wonder if Nick Saban's going to go to sleep tonight in his $20 million beach house mansion and then argue about kids getting revenue share. And NIL.
You want to start this back up?
I'll talk about this shit all night. I'll argue it all night.
I have to get to a taping at 5:30, so I'm not gonna let you drag me down into it.
All right, Joe. We'll see you Sunday, bud.
All right, Blake.
Okay.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.